This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Miami is just a disaster. They're
it's
tanking
time
for Tua.
Cordishi and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Be safe, be happy.
Here's your host, Scott Cordishi and Nick Coit.
Happy birthday.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Cordishi and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 FM, WEEI. Scott Cordishi with you here in South Florida. Nick Coit in our Warwick, Rhode Island studio. You know, Joe from the Bucket brought up Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson quarterback. And there's some speculation down here in Miami if this tanking plan is a one-year or a two-year thing. Because obviously this year, if they're tanking, you know, maybe Tua is the target, the Alabama quarterback. Some would say Jacob Fromm, the Georgia quarterback. Or is it Hebert, the Oregon guy? But then there's others that wonder if maybe they don't have their eyes on Trevor Lawrence at Clemson.
I would be,
you know, well, that, but you might have to wait 2 years to
right.
get him. That's the thing.
Right. And tanking in the NFL, though, is I don't know. It's not something that we have talked about openly like we do with the NBA and the lottery, like lottery teams and the NBA and whatnot. You're like, okay, this team's quote unquote tanking and they're going for the, you know, the number one pick or whatever. And I don't know.
But at least that's why the NBA put the lottery system in to
right.
try to prevent that, because there's no guarantee at the number one pick. In the NFL, if you tank and you get the worst record, you get the number one pick.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's true, but it's funny that that's the system that the NBA put in place, and it still doesn't stop teams from still going out there and trying to tank to get, you know, Zion Williamson or whoever else is coming out.
I just can't believe the degree to which this Miami Dolphins franchise is.
Oh.
Did you see the story this week that Minka Fitzpatrick has asked for a trade
yep.
and the Dolphins have granted him permission to seek one? I mean, I understand you're trying to tank and you want the number one pick and you want to get your quarterback of the future, but you got to have some pieces to put around him once you do draft the guy next year. I mean, this is ridiculous what's going on. It's got to be hard for the guys in that locker room right now to have kind of a positive attitude about, you know, the season, because right now the organization is pretty much showing their hand. Yeah, we are tanking here. I mean, with the guys they traded, Tunsil and what's his name, Kenny Stills, the wide receiver to the Houston Texans, and now letting Fitzpatrick seek a trade. I mean, this is bizarre.
It is. And for Brian Flores, this is a really tough situation to walk into if you're the head coach too, because, you know, what happens if this, you know, 2-3 years down the road, do they think he is the guy or not? Or do they hire something like, is he just the bridge coach here for their tanking to try to get the next quarterback or whatever? I hope not. I hope he gets a fair shot. This is tough. This is a tough situation. He has to come in and manage this situation where half the team wants to get traded because he got blown out by Lamar Jackson. Like, oh, that is tough. That is tough.
You know, and Nick, you're probably a little too young to remember this, but when I was growing up, the Dolphins were one of the premier NFL franchises. I mean, they were consistently good year after year after year. I want to say, I think the worst record that Don Shula had as a head coach in Miami was 6-8. But they dominated the AFC East. They were the one team when I was a kid growing up rooting for the Patriots that I just wanted the Patriots to be able to beat the Dolphins so bad, just like everybody wants to beat the Patriots now. I never in my wildest dreams could have imagined the Miami Dolphins franchise falling on the hard times that they have over the past decade to two, really since Dan Marino. They haven't been able to find a quarterback. They haven't been able to find a coach that's pull them out of the doldrums. And they've had some good ones. They had Jimmy Johnson. They had Nick Saban here.
Yeah.
But even they couldn't get it done here in Miami. So I never in my wildest dreams would have thought that this once proud franchise would be falling on the hard times that it has.
Well, ever since Ray Finkel didn't kick with the laces out, that to me was the downfall of the Miami. Ace Ventura? No. Ace Ventura? Ray Finkel.
I gotcha.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
I gotcha.
Yeah. No, you're right. They were at one point, and I mean, evidenced by that, they were a star of a movie in the early 90s. Like they this team was, you know, they had Dan Marino, they had Don Shula, they had, you know, big personalities that, you know, were leading a successful franchise in the NFL, and it obviously has fallen on, and I think the same thing goes with a lot of the teams in the AFC. The Bills. I mean, the Bills made it to four straight Super Bowls back in the day, and you know they had Kelly as quarterback, and you know there was a lot of talent there. And you know, ever since the Patriots, the rise of the Pats, it has this AFC East. That's why it's just been talked about so much, is the path that the Patriots have every year to the playoffs, is because you've got franchises that are just, oh boy, they just haven't been able to figure it out for years. Even the Jets had their little moment there with Rex Ryan and with Mark Sanchez and with, you know, getting to the AFC championship games. But yeah, other than that, you're right. And you're right. Now this is maybe some of the toughest times, because at least sometimes you go down there and Miami's at least got some talent. Right now you look at that team, half of them want to get traded. It's unbelievable.
Yep. 401-737-1287, the phone number. Let's go back to the calls. JC in East Providence, you're next on Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
JC?
Why am I not
JC?
Surprised that after the, I'm here. Why am I not surprised that after you're done talking about the Dolphins being terrible, you decide to go to the Dolphins fan?
Oh.
Well played.
That's on Scott. I'm putting that on Scott.
So the reason I wanted to take you off Bluetooth, sorry. The reason I wanted to call is, can you imagine if the Patriots were to go 18-0, they win the AFC Championship, which is the early game this year. They're sitting in the locker room. They're waiting for their ticket to the Saints in the Super Bowl. And the Cinderella team of the NFL, the New York Giants, beat the New Orleans Saints. What would Patriots fans be thinking if they had to put another undefeated season on the line?
They'd be shaking in their boots.
I know the Giants are bad.
They'd be shaking in their boots, JC.
That's the fly in the ointment of that argument right there.
Yeah.
Giants are a half a notch above the hideous Miami Dolphins.
I disagree with the caller that called a few calls ago that was talking about I forget his name, but he was talking about letting the Dolphins game plan for Antonio Brown, and it doesn't matter if he plays or not. You know, even if he doesn't play, they're going to spend all this time game planning. I highly, highly doubt that. The Dolphins are going to get blown out whether they play Antonio Brown or whether they don't play Antonio Brown, because the Dolphins are bad this year. I admit that as a Dolphins fan. They have a decent set of safeties and Kenyon Drake, and that's about it. That's about all they have right now. So I don't see this game at all being competitive tomorrow. I think the Patriots should easily win by like 24 points. And then to that other caller who said, why do you play in September? I think it makes perfect sense. You give the Dolphins the home field in September, and the Patriots get the home field when they play them up in New England in December. So I think that makes – I hated when they did it reverse, and then they would go to Dolphins, Miami down in December and play up in New England in September. I like it the way it's set up, because it gives each team more of a
definitely
home field advantage.
Sure.
You're correct.
That was pretty much it. I just wanted to call to make a couple of those points. And,
thanks. Thanks, JC. I appreciate it.
Thank you, JC.
Thank you. Yeah, it's it switches off, and that's. But you're right. It is to have Miami in September. It's different because the last few years it's been in December, and they've had to go down there, and that's actually been a tough game. You know, because there were times where the Dolphins were not totally out of it. You know, and then last year it just sort of was sort of a I don't want to call it a trap game, but. You know, it sort of was. They go down there and the Miami miracle happens. And, you know, for the Patriots, that was a wake-up call. And December was just so interesting last year. It just wasn't a typical December, going down, losing at Miami, losing at Pittsburgh. And that was the last game that the Patriots have lost as an organization, was the Steelers game at Pittsburgh last year. And then all of a sudden they turn it around. And that's why at that point last year we were like, boy, they go down and they lose like that in Miami, and yeah, but they turned it around. It's crazy. But I think JC's right. It's tomorrow's game, you know, any way you slice it, it doesn't feel like it's going to be competitive. Whether it's Antonio Brown out there, you know, for much of the game or not, it just doesn't feel that way. This is a bad Dolphins team.
And I know this has been a place that the Patriots have struggled greatly. They've lost five of their last six games here in Miami. Mm. But I just and early in the season, teams from up north come down here, and they have a tendency to just wilt in this oppressive heat and humidity. But again, when I saw what Miami looked like last week against the Baltimore Ravens, it's just hard to envision tomorrow's game being a competitive one between the Patriots and Dolphins.
Yeah, me too.
And I feel bad, like you said, for Brian Flores that he has to walk into this because, you know, you're trying to establish a culture. How can you establish any type of culture when, you know, the organization has made it pretty damn clear that they're tanking it this year so they can get the top draft pick, so they can get themselves a quarterback. They're trading their best players. They're letting some of their other best players seek a trade. It's got to be real hard for him to try to establish some type of winning culture or attitude in that locker room. You know, I was talking to my friend Dolphin Paul, who's on the trip with us here, about this. I said, you know, when Bill Parcells took over the Patriots, even though in his first year, I want to say they were 6-10, and as a matter of fact, I want to say they beat Miami in the final game of the regular season at the old Foxborough Stadium that year in his first year. But you could definitely see and tell that Parcells was establishing that type of winning culture and mentality, right? He was building something, and more importantly, the players, they completely bought in. They're not doing that here in Miami. You saw after last week's loss against the Ravens, there were rumblings that a number of Dolphins were going to ask to be traded, that they weren't happy because they know that the organization's tanking it. It's just a bizarre situation. I'm surprised that it's happening in the manner that it is because it doesn't even look like Miami's trying to hide what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Their
intentions.
Yeah, it's pretty transparent for sure. You want to take one more call before we go to break?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Matt and Tiverton's on the line. Good morning, Matt. You're next up on Kordish and Coit on WEEI.
Oh, good morning.
What's up, Matt?
Yeah, I just wanted to like take a little different angle on this. You know, like Belichick is obviously the best coach ever, and he's the most all-prepared coach ever, and he knows what's going on in the league. You think that they picked up Antonio Brown so the Chiefs wouldn't get him? Especially with like Tyreek Hill and all that situation, that's the one team that would definitely have no problem picking them up and then kind of making like the competition weaker, because that's the one team that you would be scared of. You know, the Vegas odds were that they were the favorite, Patriots.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought, Matt. I think when you invest that kind of money in a contract and situation, whatever, in Antonio Brown, I think Bill Belichick doesn't worry about everybody else. I think he worries about what his team does and his organization. But I think one of the benefits, I'm sure, of adding a guy like Antonio Brown is that he's in your uniform and he's not in somebody else's. He's on your team and not on somebody else's roster. I'm sure that's just a benefit that goes along with it. But I think the mentality there was that he wanted to add Antonio Brown to his team and his roster, his offense.
Right. That might be That might be a good byproduct of signing a guy like Antonio Brown.
Exactly.
I agree. Bill Belichick makes.
He has it laid out way ahead of time, so I'm just thinking if he got rid of the competition, you know what I mean?
I'm sure the Chiefs were interested. I thought the Seahawks might be a great landing spot for him. You know, there were teams out there that are absolutely interested, but I think Scott just nailed it with the word byproduct. It is. It's a byproduct of just the Patriots wanted to have him on the roster and on the team.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate your call.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, Bill Belichick does everything with one thing in mind: what's in the best interest of the football team, right?
Yeah,
I mean, every move that he makes, whether it's a personnel move, a coaching decision,
I'm not going to hand out the copy of the game plan here. Stacy can get you a copy of the transcript, though, if you want that. Coit, you want that?
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. We'll take a quick timeout. 401-737-1287, the phone number. Our text line is 37937.
We should read some of those texts, too, when we come back, Scott.
We'll get to the text line when we come back on Kordish and Coit on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.